Hi, I'm Chuck Braverman. This is another episode of WestDoc Online. Today we are featuring a new original documentary that is currently on Disney Plus. You can see it now as soon as we're finished, as soon as I mute my phone. A reminder, we're brought to you in part by Real Screen, Real Screen Summit, Real Screen West. You can go to our WestDocOnline.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the page, and there's the icon. Click on it for all the latest information for the latest Real Screen event. It's where you will meet buyers and sellers and find out what all the programmers are programming. And also, as of this week, a lot of our shows are now on Apple Podcasts. So I don't know, I find it really helpful to be able to listen to a bunch of different podcasts and learn about the business. And on our website, we have some URLs and podcasts that we suggest that we like, but we certainly now want you to be able to listen to our shows on Apple Podcasts. So today we are featuring a terrific new feature documentary called Madhu that is directed by Joel Kochi Benson and Matt Ogans. Hi guys, how are you?
Good, thanks for having us.
Good. Thanks for having us.
Kochi, I always ask, where are my guests speaking from? I know the answer, but I want to hear you say it, actually. Where are you?
Right now, I'm in Lagos, Nigeria.
And Matt, yes, Lagos, yes, I know where that is, actually. When I watched the show, I went to Google Flights, and I wanted to see how long the flight was from London. And I was actually sort of shocked that it was about the same time, maybe a little less time between LA and New York flight time, which doesn't seem that far away by jet, but it is a bit of a distance. So you're, what, 8 or 9 hours ahead of us now? It's 9:40 in the morning here. What time is it there?
So it's 17:40 in the evening.
5:40.
Yeah.
Matt, where are you speaking from?
I'm in Los Angeles, yeah.
And this is the second time you've been on WestDoc.
It is.
I looked it up. You were, I think it was about 3 years ago, you had a terrific film, which I found long before it was nominated for an Academy Award, called Audible, which was about a high school football team that was a school for the deaf.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And did getting nominated for an Oscar, did that change your life?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it opens a lot of doors. I mean, I always had a steady incline, but that puts it on steroids a little bit and opens a lot of doors and, you know, gets you to closer to the front of the line, but you still got to find great stories, you know, you still got to keep looking for your next amazing story, to connect audiences with. And for me, it was this one.
And how was this story found? Who found this story and how did you guys get together?
Yeah. So the origin story is, a producer named Jamie Patrickoff, who ended up producing this, who I've worked with on and off, for many years. In fact, my first directing job ever, I don't remember, 15, 16 years ago, was with him, and he subsequently produced my first documentary, Confessions of a Superhero. One night, I think it was June of 2020, in the pandemic, he sends me a video of, at the time, an 11-year-old boy dancing ballet barefoot in the rain. And it didn't say a name. It didn't say a place. He didn't say, let's make a film. Although I think he knew that there was something there. And that video ended up going viral about a week later. But he sent it to me. Maybe it had a few hundred hits. And I went down the social media rabbit hole to figure out who posted it, who reposted it. And within days, found who this kid was, and his name is Anthony Madhu. And within a week, I was on a FaceTime with him and his family, And what attracted me and I think Jamie to this video was, I think, you know, the video went viral in part because of the juxtaposition between this kid doing ballet, this beautiful art, and the back and his background, which was poor, rainy, muddy. And I think that's what a lot of people jumped on. For us, it wasn't about that. It was, I wanted to know who this kid was. Like, I always lead with curiosity, and there was this confidence on his face and his body language. Like, he didn't have a care in the world. And I wanted to know who this kid was, and now know how he came to ballet. And, you know, I just, you know, something in my gut. And we, you know, formed a relationship, developed the story a little more. And I've always directed alone, as a lot of directors do, but I felt for this one, and I've directed diverse stories all around the world in different cultures and communities. Audible, as you mentioned, was about a deaf high school. But I always try to find what's my organic connection to a subject matter. In this case, yes, it's about Anthony's journey in the world of ballet, but it's really about acceptance and belonging. And I felt for this, the best way to tell the story was to collaborate with a great Nigerian filmmaker that understood Anthony. And, you know, I talked to a bunch of filmmakers, but the moment I met Kachi, I knew that we could do well together, and each of us could have made this film, or versions of this film, but felt like together we could really make something beautiful. And right when I talked to Kachi the first time, which was on a Zoom like this, I just really connected with him, and I saw his connection to Anthony's story. And that's how it all began. That's how the journey began.
And how did you find Kachi, or vice versa? And then how did you move forward from 10,000 miles apart?
Yeah, just dug around, you know, did my research. I, you know, talked to people. I went on the internet, connected with some Nigerian production companies and producers, and just kept digging around and saw a piece of work, a VR, a virtual reality short film that Kachi directed called Daughters of Chibok that had won an award at the Venice Film Festival. And I saw a TED talk that he did about something personal that happened to him. And that's how I found him. And we talked some more and talked creative. And then, you know, Kachi went and met and spent time, which he could speak to, with Anthony and his family. And then I came out there and we began filming. And over the course of about a year and a half, we followed Anthony's journey, you know, I think four trips, maybe five to Nigeria. I don't remember. I think four or five, and then a little bit more to England. And we would meet in England. Sometimes Kachi would fly and film. Like the first trip, Kachi flew with Anthony on his first ever plane trip and filmed him. And I was at baggage claim waiting for them to come out to pick him up when they came out. So we were very coordinated and talked extensively about how we were going to tell Anthony's story and a lot of logistics involved, because really it was a film shot on two continents, made by people on three continents, because our production team was here in the States. And it was really a collaboration of cultures, in terms of the storytelling on screen, but also me and Kachi and even our crews on two different continents.
We're going to get back to Kachi in just a second, but let's take a look at the trailer.
I was 5 years old when I discovered ballet. People think that it's not for boys. It's my dream, and I have to follow it.
A is something that we all have to embrace, accept, or appreciate.
Hi, Mrs. Maddy. We wanted to talk to you about the Anthony, your son. He had so much raw talent that we are interested in at the school.
You must be very proud.
I'm very proud of him.
I can't believe that I'm going to be schooling in England for 7 years.
I'm happy for you, my son. Thank you for making me proud. I will miss you a lot.
Me too. Concerned that maybe may not fit in.
Strong in your centre, boys!
Shouldn't be any mistakes. You think this is hard? Wait until the summer show.
He's been referred to the NHS to a specialist doctor.
I hope you're not that afraid.
I am.
Why?
Because there might be a point where I can't be able to kind of like dance.
Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom.
Sometimes I close my eyes and imagine myself in the big stage.
I'd like to know, did you have a story?
Set me free, now I need to find relief. Set me to the open sky.
The promise I'm making to my mom and my family is I'll never let them down.
I might be falling deep, I might be falling deep, I might be falling deep, I might be falling deep.
Kachi, can you tell us a little bit about your background?
I'm a doc filmmaker based out of Lagos, Nigeria. I'm very drawn to social impact stories. So I feel like as a filmmaker based in a country where we still, you know, have so many challenges, it's important for me that my work has sort of like a bigger purpose, right? So I'm very big on, you know, using my work to amplify unheard voices and underserved communities. That's really at the core of what I like to do, which is why we made Daughters of Chibok in 2019. And then, you know, when I was introduced to this project, I remember I got an email saying, hey, you know, we would like to have a chat with you about a project that we're working on. And then I say, sure, no problem. And then, you know, got on a Zoom with Matt and he told me about this project. And I remember driving to Anthony's place. It was a very long drive on the outskirts of Lagos, you know, very far from where I live, and meeting him for the first time, this, at the time, 11, 12-year-old boy, very shy. But I could see the fire in his eyes. And that fire reminded me of myself, you know, years ago when I said, hey, I want to make docs, and everyone thought I was nuts. But I, you know, I decided to do it anyways, you know, could care less what people thought. But also it was a fire, it's a fire that burns in, I would say, pretty much every Nigerian. You know, a lot of young people in Nigeria, we are children of travails, you could say that way, challenges, and we have to fight to get what we want. And if you don't have that fire, you could end up just being trampled. So seeing Anthony, really that passion in his eyes, that fire, that drive to want to pursue his dream in spite of the bullying and the teasing, it really sparked something in me. And I remember coming back to Matt and I said, hey man, it would be an honor for me to work with you and tell the story of this kid. Because what I see is special, and I think I know he's going to go places. And, you know, it will be an honor to collaborate and share his story with the world.
What is your film education background? How did you learn filmmaking in Nigeria?
Picked up a camera. I mean, I'd always loved the visual medium, but I just didn't know my way around it. But I remember, you know, very curious. I was very, very curious. I would ask a lot of questions. I mean, Nigeria, you know, if you, you know, do some research, has a very big film industry, you know. Probably, I think, the third largest in the world. They make a lot of films. And so there are quite a few people who sort of, like, know their way around these things. And I would always hang out with them and ask a lot of questions. But then it's, you know, it's more fiction. There really wasn't a doc space, per se. So, but I knew the kind of stories I was drawn to. I was drawn to, like, these real stories. And I would always go on YouTube and watch. And so, yeah, it was really just that way. You know, shoot something, make mistakes, go back again, ask questions, shoot something, make mistakes, go back again, ask questions. It was just like in a loop like that. And then when I started saving up some money, I did a short course in the UK at the Central Film School. Then I remember I was invited for a fellowship in the States, in Virginia, under Tim Reed. And so it was sort of like those little, you know, it was more like, get a little experience here, get a little training here, shoot some more, make those mistakes, go back, watch a lot of TV, watch a lot of YouTube, ask questions. I still do that too today. It's sort of like part of me right now. You know, when we did Mado, there really was a lot of conversations that I had with Matt, you know, about process and style. And because I'm constantly curious. I'm constantly hungry for knowledge. And that's been my learning path. And that's really, you know, for a lot of young Nigerians who want to go into film or who are into film and the creative, it's that this, that's really the cheapest and the easiest way we can learn. You know, not, very, very many of us, 99% of us do not have the funds to fly out to the LA Film School or the New York Film Academy or UCLA, all them beautiful places to learn. You can't afford it. You can't get on a plane. So you better figure out how to learn if you really want to do this back home.
How and when did Disney Plus get involved in this project?
Yeah, that's a Matt question.
Yeah, I mean, both of us. From the beginning, in terms of, like, they came on board before we started filming, but you know, after that origin story we told you, and then Kachi come on board, and me and Kachi and our producers having lots of creative conversations and putting a presentation together, we took it out to different streamers and really felt like Disney was passionate about the story, passionate about Anthony, passionate about Kachi and I telling the story, and just got it. And in fact, what was so amazing is that they came on board to finance it before Anthony got that scholarship. So it's, they didn't know, you know, they knew, like, we knew what act one was going to be, right? We didn't know what act two and three were going to be, but they believed in the team, Kachi and I and our producers, and they believed in Anthony's story that I think we all knew he was going to go somewhere. And when I mean somewhere, that could be literal, like England, where he went, or America, or Italy, or he never left Nigeria, but he was going to go somewhere, right? And we all believed that, and they believed it. And we were, story-wise, we were lucky enough to be there, you know, when, in real time, when things were happening, when his mother got that call, which you see in the film, and, you know, we're there, you know, when he's packing up, he's never been on a plane before, and he's packing up and he's going to a new place he's never been, and his family's not going with him, and saying goodbye to his family and them saying goodbye to him. We just happened to, like, the story film gods were on our side, and we were there for everything that you see in the film.
You know, it's funny. I saw a clip on, I think it was Good Morning America the other day, right, with him. And so how is he doing now? I mean, they didn't really ask the question. He's obviously a year or two older and taller and great looking. And but is he still at the school there?
Yeah.
Kachi, you jump in.
Yeah, I mean, he's still there. It's a seven-year scholarship. You know, so he's going to be there for, you know, the foreseeable future. I mean,
and the goal is to get an overall education plus the ballet part, and then hopefully get a job working somewhere as in ballet or in dance? Or,
I mean, the world is his oyster right now. He can be whatever he wants to be, and I think that's really what's so beautiful about Anthony's story, right? Like, Matt saw this firsthand. You need to see where Anthony is from to understand the miracle of this opportunity and what it means, not just for him, but for his family, right? And so in the next 5 years, I think he will be done with high school. He would be a better dancer. He would have a lot more opportunities if he wants to go into acting or dance, and there are various forms of dance. There's ballet, there's contemporary, there's all, like there's a plethora of options in front of him right now, which he otherwise would not have gotten still dancing on the streets in Ajangbadi, Lagos.
Is this school in London or outside?
It's in Birmingham. Yeah.
And did they pay for the scholarship?
It's 100% fully funded by the school.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It's just by all, I mean, it's a miracle. I remember when I got the call from Matt, he was like, yo, man, he got a scholarship. You have to get on the plane, like in 2 days. And so, you know, we had to scramble, and, you know, I had to dash down to his neighborhood, and we passed the night there, and then we packed and everything. And then, you know, it was like in, I don't know, 72 hours, we had to make this plan. You know, Matt flew from LA, you know, to Heathrow, waiting for us at the airport. I flew with him from Lagos, you know, the tearful goodbyes and everything. It was just like, it's the stuff of dreams, right? But, you know, in a lot of ways, it's, you know, when you pursue those dreams with your whole heart, you know, something is bound to give. And in his case, he got this.
Switching gears for a minute, a lot of the audience that watch these shows are filmmakers, and I like to ask, what kind of gear and cameras and equipment did you have, and did you have a crew beside the two of you, or was it 42 guys in big trucks, or a little minivan with nothing in it, or what?
No, it was small but mighty. We talked a lot about that too. I kind of nerd out. I mean, you saw from my last film, Audible, I really, you know, I love character driven stories that have universal human themes that say something about us. Like Katja and I were talking about, like, this film is really about acceptance and belonging, right? And daring to dream, like these dreams, like Katja said, like, it's like, you can't even imagine where he comes from that he would have this opportunity. But the sort of special sauce I like to do is like the craft of it, right? I kind of nerd out on what camera we're going to use, what lenses we're going to use, what's the film language. And so Kachi and I talked a lot, and with our cinematographers, about that film language, so it would be cohesive, to really elevate it and make it, rather than an observational film where we're on the outside kind of looking in, intuiting the way that Anthony sees the world, right? And translating that on into a film language so it feels like it's his point of view and it's immersive. And so we used Arri Alexa Mini LFs with signature primes, mostly prime lenses. The only time I think, Kachi, we use zooms is if we couldn't get close to something. So like, if he's on stage, right, or he's watching, there's a scene where he's watching a ballet performance at the Royal Birmingham Ballet, the Nutcracker, where we have to kind of be on the fly. But we had a crew. It wasn't a big crew. We had a cinematographer in Nigeria that came up from South Africa named Matteo. We had a cinematographer named Charlie in England, came up from London. So two separate crews, but very cohesive. We all talked together and back and forth to make sure we were telling a cohesive story. Although we did try to give, to make Nigeria and England characters, right? The locations and the spaces, characters. And Kachi can speak to this more than me on the Nigerian side, even though I was there, is more vibrant and saturated and warm. And ballet, we're mostly in the school, some scenes outside where we kind of follow the seasons, right? Kachi, like we go from fall to winter to spring, and then summer is back in Nigeria, and Nigeria bookends it where it's a little cooler and grayer, bluer, and then it gets a little warmer with the seasons in England, which matches his emotions. You know, we tried to mirror subliminally, at least, as he evolves at the school and in his coming of age, the colors get a little warmer too.
What was the shooting ratio roughly?
2:3:9:1.
No, I mean, yeah, the number of hours shot. A
couple hundred hours, maybe 150, 200. I mean, I've shot, and I'm sure Kachi has, much bigger ratios. Like I've done 500 hours of footage before, but we were very, you can tell it has a very narrative look, right? So we were always intentional about what we were shooting. We didn't just turn on the cameras for a year and a half and just roll and figure it out in the edit. We really, we couldn't predict what would happen or his emotions or what was going to, you know, little unexpected obstacles or big obstacles, but we sort of outlined the film. We knew overall the arc, and every scene we would really talk about together and with our cinematographers, what's the intent of this scene? So it was contained in a way.
When, without giving away spoilers, but when the medical issue came up, was that a real threat to the film in a way, or was that created sort of, I don't mean created the medical issue, but I mean, you know, was it dramatized more than it was, or was it a real issue?
No. I remember Matt and I were in the hallway, because, I mean, again, you know, with the whole idea of not trying to draw too much attention to what we're doing, a lot of times in the school, it would just be the DP in the space capturing, and Matt and I would be like in the hallway with a monitor and, you know, sharing comms. And it was in that moment that we heard him. You know, we're looking at the monitor and he was saying to his friend, I can't see what's on the board. And you know, we could see him rubbing his eyes and looking and just like, and, you know, Matt and I were like, what could be going on here? And so, you know, again, with that, pursuing the story and following wherever it leads you, right? You know, we also tracked that and just to see where it would end up, and you know, you saw that in the film. When people ask me, oh, why do you like docs? And that's one of the reasons why I love making docs, because you can't predict what's gonna happen. You just have to open your heart to it and embrace it. And in that moment we were like, okay, well, I mean, this is a threat to his dreams. You know, and from a story point of view, that's a very interesting conflict point, and to see where it leads and what happens and how he deals with it. And so we tracked it, and I mean, we're glad that in the end, you know, he found it all worked out. But yeah, I mean, no spoilers. People have to see the film for themselves.
Yeah, but Kachi's right. It was unbelievable. Like when you see in the film Anthony speak up about it, is the first time he speaks up about it, and the first time we knew about it, we just happened to be rolling. So that scene, you know, again, not giving anything away, when you start seeing things, we're seeing it in that moment too. I don't know that it was a threat to the film, but we definitely put his well-being first, and there was discussions behind the camera. And like, one thing that is great about Elmhurst Ballet School in Birmingham is, they have a health and well-being center there. Like, they put not just Anthony, but all the kids, mental health, physical health, they're really on top of that. And so, you know, you see those doctor's visits and conversations are taken very seriously there, and we take it very seriously.
Here in the States, pointing a camera at anybody under 18 can become an issue now these days. And I'm wondering what was the process with the Elmhurst School in regards to the other students in the film and releases and parents, and were there any problems there?
I mean, I think making films like this comes with its fair share of challenges. From the beginning, it was very important for Matt and I that our intentions were genuine, and we really wanted to make everyone understand that. So even from Lagos, Nigeria, when we started having conversations with Anthony and his family and getting thereby, because we wouldn't be at Elmhurst if Anthony wasn't in the film. So we had to, first of all, gain the trust of the primary person that, you know, we were following. And it took a minute. You know, we spent time with him, spent time with his family, explained to them the purpose of this story, why we're inspired by Anthony, and why we want to tell his story.
But I'm not even, I assume that was obviously taken care of. But I'm wondering about all the hundreds of other kids that were at Elmhurst in the background, and some in the foreground. Did you?
There were conversations, lots of conversations with students, with parents, with the school authorities. There were lots of conversations. There were, you know, many yeses and a few noes, and we had to figure out how to navigate all of that. And, you know, no means no, which means that we have to figure out how to just sort of like walk through those challenges. I mean, I don't know, Matt.
Yeah, no, I think you said it best. I mean, it was, we would be mindful if we were in a class, if there were a couple students that their parents didn't want them on, to not shoot them, or at least not put them in the edit. So we really worked closely with the school, and the school worked very closely with us to be mindful, to make sure that everyone at the school felt comfortable. For the most part, in the end, everyone was glad to be part of it. And, you know, these kids are used to, they're performing, they're used to being on stage. So they were used to the cameras pretty quickly.
Do you have your airplane reservations and hotel booked already for the sequel? I mean, when does he graduate? Let me put it that way.
What, 4 years? 5 years? 4 years?
Five years. This is year two now, yeah. 5 years from now. So it's a long time. So.
And
still in the future.
I always ask, you know, and you can answer any way you want to or not want to, what was the area of the budget of this show?
I don't know if we're allowed to say that.
You're certainly allowed, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know. I don't know if we're allowed to. I'd say we had a healthy budget. You know, it took a lot to shoot on two continents over the course of over a year. So we had a healthy budget, but, you know, it adds up. There was a lot of shoot days. We're a lot of travel. We're shooting in two countries. So either I'm flying to Nigeria or both of us are flying to England. You know, we were shooting every 6 weeks. You know, we were doing a big shoot with a big chunk at the beginning and a big chunk at the end. And we went, you know, we really cared about the details of how this was shot. So our equipment, and even in post, you know, we did sound at Skywalker Sound. We did color at the Mill. We had an amazing composer in Jackson Greenberg. We wanted to include some license some songs, some music from Nigeria, because this is very much a Nigerian film. So whether it's Burna Boy or Tems and a couple others, it adds up. It adds up over the course of a year and a half. Plus, a year and a half is production. Then there's post-production was like a year. You know, I think we edited Kachi, what, 10 months, 11 months?
Yeah, thereabout.
I mean, it's so interesting because the doc world is so great. And so the films that I have featured, I like to think that I have, you know, some of the best films and the best filmmakers, but the budgets have ranged from, I just did an episode where the filmmaker, I asked him what was the budget, and he said $50,000 for everything. And he had done everything. He had shot it, edited it, you know, did everything himself, basically, to... I'd like to bring up the subject of Errol Morris when I asked him the other day, what was the budget for Pigeon Tunnel? Do you know the answer?
Tell us.
He said $10 million.
Oh, my God.
That's what I said.
Wow.
And so, I mean, look at what a stretch that is. I mean, you know, $50,000 is a lot of money, right? But it's, you know, it's you know, you could spend that much in, you know, a day at Skywalker.
Yeah. We didn't have 50,000 or 10 million. it was in between 50,000 and 10 million.
I assume.
You know, both Kachi and I, it's dependent on the project. If we're passionate about it, you know, you beg, borrow, and steal. I've done projects for nothing and projects for a lot, and I still will continue to.
Yeah.
No, so know, just like, to repeat, though.
If you have to make it, like, just because you feel it in your gut and your heart and your soul, then you make it no matter what.
But I want to just confirm, you said the Airy, Alexa LFs, that was for the whole film, more or less?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. That's great. And it looked, of course, it looked like it was shot with Airy. But that's
the only
great.
Time we didn't use those was like the shots of him on the plane, right, Kachi?
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
And maybe some of the moments. Drone shots. You had some beautiful drone shots there, too. But, you know, at the very beginning of the film, there's a line. What does he say? Where he was, I don't know if he uses the term bullying, but it comes out that he was being bullied at school in Nigeria, I guess, because ballet is not thought of as for boys in Nigeria or in the United States, or probably not in the UK either. And I'm wondering, and then that issue just sort of seemed to disappear.
If he was always in Nigeria, you know, for the entirety of the film, it would have come up more than once, right? But, you know, he left a place where it was not understood and accepted, and found himself in a place where, you know, it was understood and accepted. So that became less of an issue. There were more issues to deal with. You know, the new issues that he had was, how do I fit in into this new place now? How
and when he I came back home, spot? he almost had like an English accent, right? From
that took all of us by surprise as well. But, you know, again, with the film, you sort of like see him over the course of the 100 so minutes evolve right in front of your eyes. You know, from this shy boy to this sort of like confident young man by the end of the film, he's articulating and becoming all philosophical and understanding what he wants and all of that. So, yeah, I mean,
but
the
I'd
accent
even say,
gets thicker,
you know what?
Every day.
In some ways, that bullying and mocking in Nigeria did carry through in a way thematically, because A, you know, this is a kid dreaming of something, and he could have let that stifle him and say, I'm not going to do ballet, I don't want to be mocked and bullied. But also really that theme of acceptance and belonging, because ballet, as Kachi said, is not accepted in Nigeria, especially for a boy, for him at least, in his community. But when he gets to England, when he gets to Elmhurst Ballet School, he's still in search of acceptance and belonging, because yes, he's now with his peers, right? He's with people who also do ballet, but he's now got is he accepted by them as just a human? You know, he comes from a place that's very different than anyone at that school. And also all the kids at that school, they've started ballet when they were 4 years old, 5 years old. They've gone to some form of formal ballet training since the beginning. And so they have a foundation in ballet that he doesn't have. He's a little more, as you see, rough around the edges, although his passion shines through. So he's always in search of that acceptance and belonging in some way or another. And in the end, you know, he realizes it's just accepting himself and believing in himself.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a great opportunity for me as well. You know, learned a lot from Matt. But I also feel like making docs anywhere in the world, like you said, Chuck, is tough. But in Nigeria, it's like, ish. Well, who sent you on this errand? And I think that, you know, being a filmmaker here, making a film with Disney Plus in Nigeria, it's a huge deal. And it's something that's never happened before. you know, in the doc space here. And I hope that it inspires other young filmmakers to like just believe and go out there and just keep doing it. You don't know who's watching. And you know, that opportunity might come knocking tomorrow.
What other films, Kachi, are you working on right now?
So I'm working on a sequel to my 2019 film Daughters of Chibok. I don't know how much you know about the Chibok story. It's about the story of the 276 girls that were kidnapped in 2014 by terrorists. And I went to the community in 2019 and I made a short film there. So I've been visiting the community and I've been working on a feature, which, you know, hopefully we will share with the world soon. It's a story that I'm very happy with and it's very close to my heart. So yeah, that's what's on my mind right now.
And Matt, what are you working on?
I am, you know, sometimes, you know, every once in a decade, I'm passionate about everything I do. You know, I have to connect with it, but you know, you have those ones that fall into your lap, like Audible, like Madhu, that you're like, you have to make, you have that burning desire. And one just fell into my lap really organically. And it's, a love story, a documentary, a love story, set in, war zones. I can't get too detailed because it's early days, but it's really, beautiful and heart-wrenching, beautiful and tragic.
It's a great journey. And it's, I want to congratulate you both for doing a terrific job. And I'm looking forward to seeing the sequel.
We've heard that a lot.
But I'm going to say thank you so much for being on Westock. And I hope we can do it again in 4 or 5 years when we do run the sequel.